Perhaps, excuse me, perhaps some of you are finding yourself in a desperate place this morning, and it is a time to praise. It helps to praise. Let's begin again with prayer. I like Martin Tullis, Bower here. I like that one. Brother, I love you. But those of us who don't even have hair, we can pray, right? So let's do it. Father God, it's great you give us humor, and you give us happiness, playfulness. But you also meet us when we're in that desperate place, and we don't feel like praising you or blessing your name. But I pray, Holy Spirit, through the words that we look at today, as we sing, may we bless you. Oh, may my soul bless your holy name. In Christ's name I pray, amen. I'll try not to soften my voice too much, but if you can't hear me on the back, would you just wave at me? Can you hear me okay up there? We all right? Okay. What do you think this little girl's getting ready to do? Sneeze? I think so too. She's getting ready to sneeze. And all of us have been raised that when you sneeze, you do what? You cover your mouth. And this little guy was well prepared. He had a tissue. But if, you know, we're out in the street and we don't have a tissue, we should put our hand in our mouth and go, "Got you!" You know. But oftentimes, what's the first reaction you have, or I know what I have, when I hear someone sneeze? Now, some people say kazoon type, but not me. I say, bless you. And why do we do that? What do we mean, bless you? Does anybody else say bless you when someone sneezes? Okay, so it's kind of a cultural thing among us. I don't know why, but anyway. I'm not really thinking of any religious experience at that point. You know, I'm sorry you're sneezing. Don't sneeze anymore. Your germ's on me, kind of. But bless you. Hope you have good health and you don't keep sneezing all day long. All right. But today, I want us to bless someone. And it's not just an ordinary person, but it's the Lord Himself. And how do you do that? Well, one way, I think, is in your hands. If you came in, you got a bulletin, there should be a yellow piece of paper there with Psalm 145. Do you have that, everybody? Does anybody need a copy, or you can look on to the person sitting next to you? You got one? Well, let's all stand, and I'm gonna read the. You'll see some of the verses are in lighter font, and some are in bold font. The bold font are you guys, the audience, moms and dads, and boys and girls, and we're gonna read the Psalm 145. But I gotta ask you to help me to read this with some passion. Like your first verse is, "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." Well, that was kind of deadpan, all right? Or you could say, "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever." That's kind of low key, but you know, it's like you're singing out loud. You're great singing this morning. "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." And it doesn't matter if we're not quite harmonizing. But I need your help. We're going to bless the Lord through His holy word by reading it together. Let's all stand. When we come to the end bit, we'll all read the final verse together. So basically, you guys got the even verses, I got the odd, but the last verse, we all read that, okay? Thanks. Here we go. Let's bless the Lord with all our souls. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I shall bless you, and bless your name forever and ever."
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
Okay, get a deep breath. You're fading a little bit, right? They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. And all together, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Great, thank you. Actually, if you do a word study of bless the Lord or bless his holy name, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, it takes place in the assembly. And that's what we just did together. Let's bless the Lord for who he is and what he does. Let's look at this a little bit carefully. I'm just going to look at four verses, and let's move along. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Okay, now I'm going to read it again. And boys and girls, if you can make out what that white word is, can you read that white word? You see the white word? Most of the words are in yellow. I'll read the yellow bits, but if you'll shout out the white word. And they get more as we go along. But I will extol you, my God and
King.
Great. And bless your name forever and ever. When you think about blessing God, you've got to have a king in your life. You know, now there's two kings we can have. We can have King James or we can have King Jesus. That's in my life. Now, who rules in your life? It's either you or King Jesus. Okay, I will extol my King. Okay. I will bless you and
praise
your name forever and ever. So we don't just do it on Sundays. We do it every day. We praise and we bless him, his name. So when you think of how, when you're making praises and Martin was praising the Lord for the beautiful sunshine and being able to live here in DB in a safe community and a blessed and prosperous land. Not every land on this planet is blessed and prosperous. We do know that, right? And is safe. It's a great place. We thank you, God. We praise your name for it. Okay. Little Addie was praising the Lord this morning with me, how he took away her cough. You just praise the Lord for whatever comes into your life and you see him work on your behalf, you praise him for it. Praise his name forever and ever. When? Every day. Great is... Oh, excuse me. White guys, you're the white guys. Okay, go.
Great is the Lord.
Haha, touche. Okay. Is the Lord and...
Great.
To be praised, and his
greatness
is unsearchable. So you see that word great. Who was that? Great is the Lord. Oh, was that Twyla Paris or something? Who wrote that one? But that's a hard one to sing. I remember the first time. Great. It keeps getting up and up and high. And so you guys said it a little lower. I appreciate that. But still, I had to work hard to get those high. This word great, you know. You can think of your favorite sport team. You know mine. Okay, and you think they're great because you think of their accomplishments and stuff, but God is greater than anything you can imagine. You can think of who's the most profitable industry on company on this planet, who's making the most money, who's got the most money, and you know, you say they're great organizations, they're great, what, who's the most powerful country with the big military, you know, who's great. But God is this greatness that's different. It's godness. It's a great God, greater than any other little god on this that people may bow their knee to, including money and powerful governments. One last one. One generation shall to another and shall
declare.
Okay. Wong guys, I'm one generation. Emily, Hannah, and Nathan. Sorry to embarrass you, Nathan. But you guys are another generation. And I'm supposed to declare his mighty acts. The acts of God to you as another generation. I had a great time yesterday at Grace Ree's house. She extended Bonnie and I the privilege to come over and speak to her Saturday morning girl club. And I don't know how many girls are there. They at least seem to be 10 to 12. I don't know. 8? 4? I don't know. No, there was a good number. There was at least 8 or more. And just to pray with those young people and to see their love for God's word, man, was I encouraged. And to be able to one generation, an older guy, with a younger generation. And that's what we're doing here this morning, is one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Okay, guys, let's see. What did God do? Well, he took void, nothing, and he created earth out of nothing. He spoke, and earth came into existence. And after that, the crown of his creation, after all the animals and the birds and the fish and the sea, every living creature, plants and everything, his crowning creation was man and woman. He made them male and female. In his image, he made them. And he said, now this is the good job I'm going to give you in this good place, and that is you are to subdue the earth and rule over it. It's yours. Now take care of it for me, please. And while you're at it, multiply and have a lot of kids and fill it with my glory. But we know, don't we, boys and girls, that because Adam and Eve didn't obey God the Father, they did what was evil in his sight by trying to make themselves as wise as gods, and not waiting on him to make them wise, but believing in the evil one that tempted them, they were asked to leave the garden. And then from that point on, what happened? Man began to die. And disease set in, and we call this the fall. And man became so self-centered and so evil and wicked. You know what God had to do? This is our God, one of his great mighty acts. He created this earth, a great place. His first creation, the first couple that he made, rebelled against his will and had to be excluded from paradise. And then mankind became so bad. You know what God had to do? He had to send a flood. And he destroyed everybody on the planet of the earth. Everybody. Except Noah and his three sons and their wives. That's our God. And if you weren't on that boat, I'm afraid you didn't make it. Our God created the earth and he flooded the earth in judgment because people weren't loving him and serving him. They were very wicked and killing each other. But after the flood, remember, he gave Noah a rainbow, and he said, you know what, Noah, I'm never going to, again, destroy this planet by water. And this rainbow I give you in the sky is a covenant between you and all the generations after you. This is what I mean. I'll never destroy it with water again. Water. Remember that one. So God created. God sent judgment with the flood. And then God starts to do something very marvelous. This is not grandpa and grandma. Bonnie and I get a kick out of this, don't we? So this is about like Bonnie and I being told, you know, in 20 years from now, James, or more than that for me, it'll be, what, 37 more years from now, James, you're going to have a baby, you know. you and Bonnie are going to have a baby. And this is what happened. An old couple had a baby. I don't know if you can get a hold of that, but this is Father Abraham. And that's why Sarah had a big laugh, and they even called the kid Laughter. His name was Isaac. That's what it means. He's a big joke. He came out of time. You talk about a caboose. Well, this was a real, you know, this is unexpected. It was a God thing. God created the earth. He judged mankind, sure, but he saved mankind. He saved Noah and his three sons and multiplied the earth again. And then he started to build the people. And how did he build the people? He started with an old couple. This is your God and my God. This is one of his mighty acts. And that little baby, Isaac, then grew up to be an old man. And here he is with his son, Jacob. Jacob was deceiving him, acting like he was Esau. He put that smelly thing around him, and he smelled like he was a man of the fields, and he wasn't. And he got his father's blessing. And so Jacob then, he grows up, and he has 12 kids. There's the 12 children of Jacob. And that becomes the basis for the 12 tribes of Israel. And remember, one of those boys was named Joseph. And Joseph was sold into slavery. Now, this after the slavery, Jacob comes to Egypt, and he's given a place to stay, blessed by the Pharaoh, because Joseph is the Pharaoh's right-hand man. God spared Joseph, but he's building this people for himself. First to an old couple, then he even uses a foreign nation, Israel, to give protection and feed during a famine, Jacob and his family. At that time, they're about 70 in number. But before you can blink an eye, Joseph dies, and there in Egypt are millions now, close to 2 million Israelites. And the Pharaoh no longer remembers Joseph. And at that time, another leader hits the scene. You know his name? This is what's happening. After Joseph dies, the Israelites are in Egypt, are forced into slave labor and beaten. And then comes this guy. What's his name? This is a great cheerleading squad. Kids, you ever heard about Moses? You know, God's power was with him, and he leads Moses through the Red Sea. I mean, a whole sea parts through, and then they walk through dry ground. All the people leave, and then Pharaoh gets mad, and he says, I've had it. I'm going to go get him once and for all and wipe him off the face of the earth. And so Pharaoh and his armies run through the middle of the sea, and what happens? They get drowned. This is our God, the mighty God who protects his people. He started with an old couple, and they became a great nation of millions, and he leads them out of Egypt through the Red Sea under the leadership of Moses. After Moses, there was another guy. Does anybody know his name? He took over after Moses retired. Joshua. And he was a military leader. And if you've never read the book of Joshua or Judges, take a read, and it's pretty good. And you get this guy. And he leads them into battle. And one of the most famous battles was the Battle of Jericho, and how the walls just collapsed, and they went in and defeated the people in Jericho. What God did through a military expansion was he gave a land, a geographical land. The people basically did not worship the God who created them. The people did very evil in the sight of God. They offered their children as sacrifices. Burnt offerings of a human being. And God pronounced judgment on them through the armies of Israel, and they got these lands, and these lands are divided, these different colors, into the 12 tribes. Okay, remember what it started out with, the people of God? An old couple. And now he's given them, they've grown into a people, and he's taken them through the Red Sea and to a promised land. This is King Saul. He was a mighty warrior of God, but he was a prideful man. He was a man who did not obey God completely. And God replaced King Saul with this guy. And did you notice the difference? What's in his hand?
A spear.
Yeah. He even tried to kill David. Because David was God's anointed. And then it's through David's line which Jesus Christ will come to the world. The promise was made to Judah that in your line there will be a king forever and ever. And that's King David's line. The tribe of Judah. So what's in David's hands? Yeah, it's a Fender guitar. It's old style. This Psalm 145. David wrote it. Most of the book David wrote, the book of Psalms, all those songs. He was the Hillsong of his day. He was the one who sold all the albums. Singing praises to his God. What a king. We know some of his mistakes too, but this is during the United Kingdom. And this is David's son, Solomon, old guy now. So Solomon was born to David, and his mother was Bathsheba, in case you want to keep things straight. But to make a long story short, he became old, and then he wrote some books. One is Ecclesiastes, and the other is the Song of Solomon. And when you get married, boys and girls, you read the Song of Solomon. It's a great, great book. But in the meantime, this man was known as the wisest man who ever lived on the earth, and probably the richest. King Solomon. So God did a great thing. He took an old couple, built a nation, gave them a land, and then blessed them with kings. That's a great thing. But then the kingdom became divided. And you have Israel, the 10 tribes led by Jeroboam, and Judah, the 2 tribes, Rehoboam. These guys came prophets. I don't know if you know about them, but some of the names, Samuel, he spoke to the kings. And then you got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and 12 minor prophets. Now, these are the writing prophets, and some write before what we call the exile, and some write just to Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, some write to Judah, some write after the exile. There's 70 years in which Israel as a nation are in captivity, first to Babylon and then Persia, and then they all get back, they all go drift back home. And then there's 400 years of silence. Prophets were basically declaring God's message, and it was repent and be blessed. Some of the prophets said, look, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years, but you know, you bless the place where you're going to captivity. You're going to be there 70 years and you're going to come back. But most of the prophets always pointed out to something else, and that was there's a prophet coming after us. His name is the one you need to listen to. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the long-awaited King that you need. And you know who that was? Yeah. This little guy. Baby Jesus. The Messiah. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came. God who created this earth. God who brought down the rain and the flood. God who created the people, nation Israel. He took on human form. What we call the fancy word incarnation. He became in flesh. Incarnation is an old word for flesh. He became incarnate. Born of a virgin, Mary, as a baby. You know any other gods like this? No, there's none. And of course we know this Jesus became a man. He ministered, he taught, and he preached, and he trained the 12 disciples, his followers. He went about healing both the lame and the blind, raising people from the dead. He did all kinds of miracles, one of them turning water into wine. There's no God like our God. You and I are familiar with these stories. These are true stories. You think one generation told one generation, one generation told another generation, told another generation, told another generation, told another, etc. till right now. These are the mighty acts that your God and my God has done. And wow, that was really a great wine at that wedding. But the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did was right here. on the cross, where he who knew no sin became sin, so that you and I, who are sinful, can become the righteousness of God, and I can be a son of God, and you can be a son or daughter of God through faith in Christ's life, his obedient life, and faith in Christ's death, his death which received punishment for our sin. The greatest miracle is Christ dying for you, for me, and for all those who come to faith through him. Yep, he was crucified, he was buried, but death did not keep hold on him. He was raised up, and this is why there is life today. This is why the message continues. There's no other man on earth who has, or woman, who, anyone who's been in existence that has such a following because they were raised from the dead. There's only been one who claimed that he and the Father God were one, who claimed that he was the Son of God, who claimed that he was the promised Messiah of all those old prophets of old. There's only been Jesus, and he rose from the dead. And we know after he rose from the dead, he spoke to his disciples. He told them he was going to send power back to them for them to wait. And he will enable them to advance his kingdom. He ascended into heaven. He didn't fly Cathay to heaven. No, he did what? He went straight up. And I mean, I would have been just like these disciples and staring, what in the world? And I mean, even after he's disappeared, I still keep looking. And these two men in white robes, the scripture tells them, what are you looking at? You know, he just as he left, he'll come back. So don't stand here. And they went back. They departed after this ascension. And they went back to the synagogue there. And they gave thanks and blessed his name. Wow. Then comes Holy Spirit, Pentecost. A little group of believers, men and women, gathered together in a home. And then Holy Spirit came on them in such a powerful way. It's like tongues of fire coming down on them. And they spoke in different languages, at least 16 different languages. Now, many of us, if we could speak in our mother tongues, we have a good variety here in this room. But you imagine me, I'd like to be able to speak, Croatian or Serbian or whatever that stuff is. You know, they speak up there. I'd like to speak some of that stuff. I'd love to speak Dario's Italian, you know. I'd love to be able to speak that. Or maybe even some Korean, you know, Kamsahamnida. I know how to say that. But, you know, just to be able to speak a different language, and they did. And they were accused of what? Being drunk with wine. But no, they weren't drunk with wine. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they became a very powerful witness. And from that, the Christian church grew from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Because Holy Spirit came upon his people. And Holy Spirit indwells his people. This is the good gift that Jesus said, wait, and I'm going to give you this great gift. And he is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit lives in us here in DB today. And that's how the gospel gets out. Wow, to hear two little girls just as they say, pray for my friend. I won't mention her name. But she said, pray for my friend. She came to faith in Christ last week. But her mommy and daddy doesn't like her to come to church and hang out with us. The Holy Spirit is working through young people, through older people, through you, as you bear witness to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and tell of his mighty deeds in your life, as well as these mighty deeds of Scripture. This is the God who's done these great and mighty things, and here we are today. The gospel is spreading. Unreached people group in Guangxi province. We're in some discussions with our Evangelical Free Church brothers that we may be able to get into a Muslim community, minority group in the mainland. These different minority groups, people we haven't heard. There's people we haven't heard in DB. How are we going to reach the rugby group? The rugby clan? You know? they're all playing rugby while we're in here. Does that bother you? It bothers me. So let's pray. Let's pray, you know, send out laborers into the rugby harvest. I don't know how we're going to do it. How are we going to reach them for Christ? I don't know. But the gospel is going around the world to all the unreached people groups, not only of DB and Hong Kong as a city, the unreached big groups of people who have no witness, and somebody has to leave their comfort zone of Hong Kong and go cross-cultural into a Muslim community in Indonesia. Somebody was telling me recently about a group of brothers, Chinese guys setting up a Taiwan, dumplings restaurant in Iran. It's creative ways going on out there, guys. It's unbelievable how God is moving different people to get into these unreached, difficult, creative access nations. And one of the ways he's doing that is through our good friends next door who live in the mainland China. So you and I are in this day and age. Now there's two things to come, two great deeds which haven't happened yet, which God's going to do. He promises very clearly in his word. You know what those are? Okay. This one. Planet Earth's going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned up. And then everyone will face a judgment. Some will go to heaven, some will not. But don't stay here. Judgment is coming. It's for real. It's not going to stay the way it is. This planet is polluted and sick. It needs a new one. Now, I want to pray that many of you boys and girls, young people, when you grow up, you will give yourself to environmental concerns, okay? You fight for clean water and for good crops and for medicine and advancements. You do that stuff. But in the scheme of things, I want you to know this earth is going to be destroyed. And then what's going to happen is the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. With only children of God who have come to faith in Christ Jesus. These are the works of God. My generation and your generation needs to declare. This is the God who your mom and dad worship and love. And this is your God. He's great. He's awesome. He's mighty. Maybe when you get home, you can ask mom and dad, what are the great works God has done in their hearts and their lives? How did they come to know Jesus? How has Jesus taken care of them? But the great God is moving in history. And right now it's through you and I, his church. And he has given to you and I a very vivid object lesson, this thing we call Holy Communion, the bread and the wine. And through that we declare, yeah, my life is trusting only the life of Christ, his obedience and his sacrifice for me. And every time I come and I eat and I drink, I do so in remembrance of him. Because sometimes it can seem like these are just all kind of cartoons things. They didn't really happen, are they? No. This is a real God. Now, this is an artist's imagination, what those things look like. But we've got a written record of how great and mighty our God is. Let's bow for prayer, and I'd like to ask the elders to come down to help me distribute the elements. And let's pray first. Father, I think somehow we've blessed your name as we recall, not all, but some of the major works and mighty deeds. And it's very clear from Psalm 145, verse 4 today, that one generation shall commend your works to another. And I thank you for the young people of DBICC And I thank you at an early age, Lord, you will make it known to them that you are their personal God and Savior, and that they have meaning in life, that they were created to bring you glory in the classroom, in the neighborhood, in the household, among their friends, and that they will enjoy you. They'll delight in you. They'll fear you, and they'll love you. Thank you, Jesus. You know how our hearts can become distracted with what the world has. Our hearts can become deceived, thinking that our good works is what makes us good people. But there's only one work, and that's the work of Christ on the cross, the giving of his body and the shedding of his blood. It makes us worthy to come to you and to be your friend. Thank you so much for this table, and we pray your blessing upon it as we remember you, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.